You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new law in Alabama aims to get tough on people with fake service dogs. Our guest says the law was needed to help people with real service animals. Right now, it's time for a weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. First, the sentencing of a former priest in northern Wisconsin who confessed to sexual abuse has been delayed. The multiple incidents of abuse took place as early as the 1980s when Thomas Erickson was serving as a priest at St. Peter's Church in Sawyer County. He was arrested and formally charged late last year. Laura Schulte is the public issues and watchdog reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. Laura, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Laura, you wrote about this. When did police over time become aware of the allegations of abuse?
So police were aware of the abuse as early as 1983. There is actually a time when parents of one of the victims reported Thomas Erickson to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Department. They brought him in. He actually confessed to some of his crimes, but the sheriff's department elected to turn him over to the diocese at the time to allow them to dole out punishment. So he didn't face any legal charges at that point.
And how did the diocese react, and what did they do when it came to Erickson and these allegations?
Erickson was laicized, which means he was, you know, stripped of his title as a priest. And he eventually moved to Minneapolis, where we believe he had family living. He, you know, was sent to do some type of counseling within the diocese of the Minneapolis-St. Paul diocese, which it's unclear if that ever helped him or if that would be able to help him, because he continued harassing children after that.
Right. So can you give us a little sense of the subsequent allegations that came up over the years?
Yes. So about 9 years ago, some of the survivors went to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Department. This had been a huge part of their lives. They've been grappling to deal with it, and they went to investigators. And investigators began looking into it, and then in 2011, another gentleman came forward. And investigators, you know, looked into this. They actually got another confession from Erickson in 2016 and forwarded their investigation to the Sawyer County DA's office. The DA elected not to press charges at that time, and that investigation sat on his desk for probably about 4 years before we started submitting some records requests, because one of the victims came to us out of frustration. 2 weeks after we submitted a records request to the DA, Mr. Erickson was arrested last November in Minneapolis and brought back to Wisconsin.
And Erickson was scheduled, I understand, to be sentenced this afternoon, and that's now been delayed. Why?
It was delayed. There were two investigations in Merrill and Lincoln County that were not included in his pre-sentence investigation. That's a document that basically helps the judge make his decision in sentencing. And, you know, under some of the rules in Wisconsin, the victims, you know, need to have their story heard and considered, even though that those two investigations didn't result in charges with the plea deal. So they've allowed them, the court system has allowed a month for investigators to include those two victims in their statements in the pre-sentence investigation before sentencing can happen.
And so when is sentencing now expected to happen?
It should happen at 1 p.m. on September 26th.
Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Laura Schulte, watchdog reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. She gave us an update on the case of former priest Tom Erickson, whose sentencing for sexual abuse has been delayed after more victims came forward. Now, a state-run ad campaign trying to convince millennials to move to Wisconsin is more than a year old, and officials say they plan to keep it going despite a big change in state funding. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
This ad campaign to get millennials to move here to Wisconsin was rolled out early, I think it was last year. Can you remind us what these ads were pitching?
So the ads were pitching sort of the quality of life factors in Wisconsin compared to some areas, other areas in the Midwest. So they talked about things like commute time or housing affordability, kind of trying to pitch Wisconsin as a place where you could go and have a little bit more work-life balance, which is definitely something we hear in conversations about millennials.
There's a new administration now, a new budget. What's the before and after as it affects this millennial ad campaign?
So the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which oversees this ad campaign, actually put in a request to increase funding. in the next budget, the current budget. They wanted about $10 million to keep the program going. They had $6.8 million previously. And Governor Tony Evers did not meet that request. He didn't include it in his budget proposal, and then Republican lawmakers didn't, throughout the budget process, insert that money. So basically what's happening now is, since the money wasn't included in the budget, WEDC has found resources within its existing budget. They kind of found some things through savings and other programs that they were able to reallocate. So the program is going to continue, even though it wasn't funded in the state budget.
What's been the argument, especially from Democrats, against this idea that we should be advertising to lure millennials to the state?
So they're essentially arguing that they don't want to spend money on a marketing campaign. They want to kind of focus resources on making Wisconsin more appealing, kind of in and of itself. So make the state better, foster programs that we think millennials are going to get behind, and kind of the state markets itself. So they said they want to spend more money on things like public transit, more bike paths, a student loan refinancing option that's backed by the state, some other things that they think millennials prioritize and would value.
And who are we targeting? There's a group of cities, right, that are the key target markets here.
That's right. So WEDC did a fair amount of research before they rolled out this campaign, and they decided they were going to focus on 13 different cities throughout the Midwest. This is a Midwest-focused campaign. So we've got cities in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Missouri. It's kind of some likely characters you might expect, like St. Louis and Minneapolis, but also some smaller communities that folks might not be as familiar with, like Champaign, Illinois, Dubuque, Iowa, places like that.
I know it might be hard to measure, but do we have any indication of whether this campaign has been working?
So WEDC did do a survey after about a year of the campaign. They went to these communities and they asked questions of millennials, like, how likely would you be to move to Wisconsin? What are your perceptions of Wisconsin right now? Then they went back a year later and asked the same questions over again. And based on those findings, they said that people are 9% more likely to move to Wisconsin than they were when these ads first rolled out.
We'll see how they work in the future. Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Absolutely, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. She joined us to talk about the marketing campaign pitching Wisconsin to out-of-state millennials that will continue despite a change in state funding. Finally, the Ferry Bluff Natural Area near Sauk City is one of the best places in the state to see bald eagles. Now a land donation means it's expanding by more than 30 acres. Susan Endres is a reporter for the Baraboo News Republic. Susan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, for those of us who haven't been to the Ferry Bluff Natural Area near Sauk City, can you give us an idea of what it's like?
Sure. Yeah, it's about a 10-minute drive west of Sauk City, and it's on the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway. So the most scenic views there come from hiking up the trail, which isn't very long, but it's a fairly steep incline, so it might be a little difficult for some people. And once you get to the top of the trail, you have these really great views of the Wisconsin River and Honey Creek from more than 300 feet above them on a sandstone bluff. And there's other natural things to see there, dolomite harbors and prairie remnants and forested areas. So it's a really beautiful area.
Now, people like this, but it sounds like eagles love this place. Can you talk about why this has been a good area for bald eagles?
Yeah, the Lower Wisconsin River is one of only three winter concentrations of bald eagles in the entire state, according to ecologist Jeff Barzin, who's a member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. Ferry Bluff, in particular, provides undeveloped shoreline where the birds can perch and feed during winter, and has plenty of area inland where they can find shelter from winter winds. And Barzin said it's the only nighttime roost for eagles that's fully protected, because all of the others are on privately owned land where they can be disturbed and the land could be developed in the future.
And now the new story there, it's being expanded, it sounds like, by about 30 acres. How did this land end up getting added?
Well, the owner of the land approached the DNR looking to sell it. And while the state didn't have the funding to acquire it itself, the DNR sometimes partners with conservation groups that can fundraise and organize efforts to get the land, which they then donate to the state. And that's what happened in this case. Groundswell Conservancy purchased the land for about $160,000 and presented it to the state in June.
And it sounds like there was a big fundraising program from donors, kind of big and well-known, to small donors, too.
Yeah, that's right. Groundswell worked with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council in doing this, and representatives from both said there was a lot of local support. They also obtained a grant from the state, which covered about half the cost, but the rest was paid using private donations from individuals, businesses, and foundations. And one of the bigger donors was Craig Culver of the Culver's Restaurants, which were started in Sauk City. So there was that, and Alliant Energy also contributed some money, and there were just a lot of small donations as well.
And are we going to end up with trails in this part of what will be this part of the park?
Yeah, eventually they do plan to make it more of an accessible natural area. Right now, you can go there, but it's not so easy to hike because there aren't any trails. But I heard that the DNR plans to develop it a little bit for that in the future.
Susan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Susan Endres is a reporter for the Baraboo News Republic. She joined us to talk about the Ferry Bluff Natural Area, a popular spot for bald eagles, and it's going to be expanded by 30 acres. She wrapped up our weekly review of stories from around the state.